Hi, and welcome to the West Visalia Audio Podcast. Each message is designed to help you grow and inspire you to take action. Please take a moment to hit the subscribe button, and don't be shy to drop us a message if you have a question. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Good morning. So how many watch Wipeout? Yeah, that show is, there's nothing funnier than watching people fall. I don't know why, it's just hilarious. And my wife and I like to watch that that show, and you know, they have those big, buoyant things that people run across, and every time, I've watched this show for years, and I'm pretty into fitness. I like to stay in shape. I like to run and do kinds of like CrossFit. Cliff and I have had some good conversations. He's a jiu-jitsu guy. I think he's not a big CrossFit dude, but he keeps in shape, and we had some good conversation this weekend. But so I've kind of been judgmental of those people on this show because I'm watching them just like, these people, they are such losers, always getting out on that first ball and just falling straight over. I went out there with supreme confidence yesterday. I got up there and I thought, these people are about to see just like a little fairy bouncing across these things. It did not happen. The moment you get on that thing, you just like sink into it, and my knees buckled and I fell flat on my face, but I did. I crawled across the way. So I made it, but it was not graceful at all. I hope there was no footage or anything like that, but that was fun, and I will never again look at those people in disdain that are not able to make it across those. I've had a good time being here this weekend. I appreciate this very much. I love to bring the word, especially to young people who are searching. I think that sometimes young people are pegged as not caring about spiritual things and being disinterested or disengaged, and I simply do not think that is true. I think it's a different time, and I think that there are fundamental questions that maybe are being not discussed. And so they're not making it to this next level in faith because of that. But being here this weekend, I've been encouraged by these young people. I think that the church has, it does have a bright future despite the secular age that is coming in. And I think we need to continue to invest in these people and give them the confidence to move forward in Christ. And the whole point of this weekend has been to challenge faith. And to say, what is it? What does it really mean to be a person of faith, to have a biblical faith? Faith is the thing. I've been preaching through Romans for about a year back in my congregation in Oklahoma. And Paul makes it very plain. You cannot have salvation if you do not have the faith of Abraham. He says, if you walk in the footsteps of the faith of Abraham, then you'll be justified before God. But if you don't have that, you can't be saved. Faith is the one inherently righteous thing that we can do by which we can be justified before God. And so it is supremely important to say, what is that faith? What does it mean to have that faith? Is it merely the intellectual assent or, you know, this recognition that there's a being above the universe that created me, and I say, I believe he exists, or I say, and I also believe Jesus is his son. Is that as far as it goes? No, those are just the preliminary building blocks. That's the foundation, is coming to faith in God, and then coming to faith in Jesus, and then coming to faith in the total perfection and inerrancy of Scripture, and then you build on top of that, coming to an understanding of what it means to live out that faith. So we've been kind of building a little bit. Yesterday, the first thing we talked about is that radical faith is reasonable. We have good reasons. Reason able means I am able to give reasons for why I believe. God does not expect for you to make a blind leap into the unknown. He wants you to have a solid reason for why you believe. And then once you come to that, faith is, once you believe God exists and you believe Jesus is his son, the next step is you just have to believe God. Not just believe in God, but you have to believe him. When he says something, believe it. What is God saying to you right now? And do you believe it? And then you need to believe that that thing God is saying involves bringing you to a place that is far better than were you to be left on your own and continue on your own path. Faith believes that the way of God is better. Now, this message right now is, tell me again, what's the title of this weekend? Radical faith. All right, so that first word, what does radical imply? Extreme. It implies perhaps a disruption of the status quo. It implies that hopefully, if we're going to talk about radical faith, hopefully there's going to be some things that would challenge ideas that we have. I was having a conversation with a brother a moment ago just about this idea that the scriptures ought to be challenging us in the ways that we think and the ways that we view the world. We're out in the world all the time. Like Jovan yesterday said, you're like a fish in this big fish tank, and the water all around you is culture and society and world. We're in it all the time. And it rubs off on us. And it forms the way we think, and it forms the way we view things. And when that happens, sometimes we adopt ideas from the culture that are actually in contradiction to ideas that are found in the scriptures. It happens all the time. I'm amazed at how often I have ideas that I've held dearly, things that sound good, things that feel right, things that my heart would say, surely this is a good thing. And then the scriptures tell me otherwise. So this is the one message of the four that I'm giving this weekend that I think has the most radical component, in that I would suspect that what I'm about to say is something that maybe 90% of the people in the room haven't considered this, and probably a good portion, even after I say this and give the scriptural evidence for it, are going to push against it a little bit going forward to say, is that true? Because when I first started thinking about these things, I didn't accept it right away. Even though I heard clear evidence for it and saw clear evidence for it, something about it didn't seem right. For the past 10 years, I've been thinking about what I'm about to say, and the more I read the scriptures, the more I see that's precisely what the Bible is saying. So let me give you what I want to say. We live in a culture that is pushing self above everything, right? Self, I mean, there's a magazine called Self Magazine. We've got psychologists and psychiatrists that are saying the thing you're lacking is more love for self. Uh-uh. That ain't true. Nobody lacks love for self. We know how to love self. We take care of self, sometimes above everything. A lot of times, actually, the problem in our lives is that we're thinking too much of self. And then we get wrapped up in self. And then you start worrying about self and become self-conscious, and you are thinking so much about self that there's a neglect of everything else in the world. Culture is pushing self, self-confidence, self-esteem. Now you see up there, self-confidence, virtue or vice. What do you think? Well, maybe it would be helpful to stop and consider the components of just that word, self-confidence. Confident. What does that imply? It implies that my confidence and the power within me and my direction going forward is motivated and propelled by my belief in my ability to do things on my own. Self-confidence. So is self-confidence or self-esteem just this filling up of self and elevating self, are those biblical virtues? Are they consistent with Scripture? And the tendency, I think, would be to look on them and say there's nothing wrong with them. What would be wrong with self-confidence or self-esteem or whatever? And we typically push against it and we would say, no, it's a good thing. I mean, in our classrooms, in your high school classrooms, you've certainly got posters. There are pep rallies that are built around these ideas. But this is social science of the past 100 years. This is not the way that people looked at the brain and human life for thousands of years, putting self as this thing to esteem and to be confident in. And I'll tell you, point blank, self-confidence and self-esteem are in contradiction to the gospel. They are in contradiction to the message of the Bible. And I'll tell you why we think that that's a problem. We think it's a problem because we have made a false dichotomy, which is when you take two ideas and you pin them against one another as though these are the only two options. And what we've done, and what psychologists have done and social scientists have done, is we've said you are either self-confident or you are self-loathsome. You are either esteeming self or you are deprecating self. You either love yourself or you hate yourself. You either have this supreme confidence in you or you have no confidence at all. That's a false dichotomy, because it says that you're either one or the other. And when you look at those, which would be better? I mean, to function in this world and to move about, which would be better, to have a confidence in me or to speak badly and hate myself and be self-deprecating and, you know, look at myself and say, you're bad and all that? Which would be better? Well, obviously the self-confidence thing. I mean, that would be the better of the two. You can't function without having some measure of confidence to go forward. But it is a false dichotomy because there is an alternative. There's such a thing as having a power and a confidence and a filling up and a motivating that is totally outside of me, that comes from someone that is way bigger than me, someone that is infinitely more powerful than me. And when I'm filled up with him, namely Jesus Christ, then in that way I am supremely more confident than a person whose confidence is built on self. I know me. And there was a time in my life when I departed a little bit from what I was taught by mom and dad and by the faith that I had adopted when I was young. And I went and lived me for a little while. I can tell you, there is no basis for confidence in that Daniel. There simply isn't. There's a reason to say that Daniel needs to die. I need to have nothing to do with that Daniel. The old man is put away. The new man is resurrected. And I live by the power of God. Let me show you why I say this. I don't expect for these young people to hear that self-esteem and self-confidence are antithetical to gospel and to immediately say that's true, or to immediately say I fully agree with that. But what I do desire is that you young people take these things and mull over them, pray over them, think about them some more, and see if these hold to be true. Let me show you where I'm getting this from. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to start there. This is a book, by the way. What time do I have until? Okay, so I got 15 minutos, 15 minutos más. Romans 4 is a... I'm thinking about writing a book on just this chapter alone, because I think we have a really superficial idea of what faith is. There are more principles to the Christian faith found in Romans 4 than I've seen anywhere else in the New Testament. And Abraham is this guy. Paul's writing this big letter. He says in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God for salvation to whom? To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed beginning and ending with faith. Faith is the thing that should be totally the central virtue of who you are. It is everything. If you have this supremely inherent, healthy, vibrant, living belief and conviction and faith in God Almighty. And it is, so many elements of it are brought out in Romans chapter 4. One of them being that a person can be supremely confident and have no confidence in self. That's what we see in Abraham. Let me show you. Romans 4, verse 16, he says, this is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be, is what God said. Zoom in here. I hope you have your Bible. This is Romans 4. I never put my verses, like I have like the scripture, but I don't put the actual verse there. So I just got starting in verse 16. But zoom in on where it says, he did not weaken in faith. Look there. I want you to see this in your Bible because this isn't coming from me. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. And that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Notice what it says of Abraham. This is the guy. Now, there was nothing weak about Abraham. This dude was a powerhouse. The faith that he had was paramount. So much so that we're sitting now, how many years later? 4,500 years later, 4,000 years after this guy lived, and we're reading a book that says, you want to go be with God, be like this guy. Supremely confident, man of great strength. But the question is, what was the basis of the confidence that he had to go forward and function in a way that here we are 4,000 years later saying, that's how we need to function? What was it? Well, notice what Paul says. Paul says that he looked on his own self, and what did he recognize? It was as good as dead. What did he recognize in his wife? She didn't have a baby till she was 90. All right? No, there was no confidence in self. Abraham was 100. His wife was 90. Her womb had been barren. It even says that his belief was in a God who gives life to the dead because what? His body was as good as dead. And his faith was in the God who brings into existence things that do not exist, namely the fact that his wife's womb was empty. That was where his faith was. Was it in self? Was his confidence in himself? No, it was not. It says he did not weaken in his faith in God when he looked on himself and considered, this thing ain't going to get the job done, right? That's what he did. I mean, he looked on this body and he thought, I'm 100-year-old man having a new son. That don't happen very often. Looked on his wife. She wasn't able to have a baby in her youth, and now she's 90. But what did it say? He considered those things, but he did not waver in faith. Why? What's it say? Well, it says that he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. Where had Abraham sat down? What was he sitting on to be confident? He was sitting on this God who he knew could do anything that even he couldn't do. The world is going to try and say you either have self-confidence or self-deprecation. Neither of them are good. It's a false idea. The idea is that we can be supremely confident and it not be in me. I'm so bad with these PowerPoints. I'm sorry. I just get to talking and I don't even remember to click these things. I want you to look again at verse 12, Romans 4 and verse 12. He speaks here about walking in the footsteps of Abraham, this man of great faith. Young men and women, old men and women, everybody in between. The one thing that you need to zoom in on and focus on in your life is developing a bigger faith in God Almighty. We downplay it. He spoke the world into existence. God talked, and things that did not exist just came into existence. He made you, right? He made you out of nothing. You go back and you look at the call of God to Moses. It's a long time before Paul even wrote this, but go back and look at the call of God to Moses. Do you remember when God came to Moses and God said, Moses, you're going to be the guy that leads my people out of Egypt? What did Moses say? I can't do this. What did he say? I'm a man that's not eloquent. I haven't been eloquent my whole life. Neither am I eloquent this day. You have to find somebody else to do this. I'm not the guy. God gave him a staff and said, throw that thing on the ground and it'll turn into a snake. Now go pick it up. It'll turn into a staff again. This is a power that God gave him that he didn't have. And still after all that, Abraham's saying, God, I'm not the guy. My tongue will not be able to speak in this environment to go before the king of the world at the time and say, let all of these slaves go. It's not going to work. But notice when God responded to him, Moses was saying, I'm not eloquent, I can't do it. Was Moses confident in himself? Not at all. But notice God didn't say, don't talk about yourself that way, Moses. You are eloquent. No, he didn't. What did he say? God said, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I? Now go. God looked on Moses and didn't want Moses to have a confidence in himself. He didn't have a confidence in himself. Neither should he have. But God was saying, there is something you can be confident in, and it's me. I made you. And if I'm calling you to do something, there will be nothing that can stop you from doing it. But the reason you will be able to will not be because of you, it will be because of me. Moses developed a confidence in God. Abraham had a supreme confidence in God. You think on these guys, you go through the Bible, I want you to ask, go through all of your scriptures and say, were any of the great heroes of faith ever heralded or praised as being people who had confidence in self? When David went into the battle against Goliath, a little old guy with the armor that didn't work on him, and he went out there against a man that stood 9 foot tall, was David confident in himself? Not at all. But was he confident? Supremely. Why was it? Well, what was it that David said? David looked on Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, he said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, and this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Who would do the delivering? Who would be the means of deliverance for Israel and the people of God? David had no reason to be confident in his own ability before a giant like this. But having a confidence in the God who made the world, the God whose people was Israel, David knew it can be done and it will be done and it will be done by the might of God. This is a faith that is a living, saving, biblical faith. One that looks on God and says, God can do it. Whatever he's calling you to do, you don't have to find that confidence in yourself. And having gone through those younger years, those vulnerable years, the kind of awkward years where I didn't quite know what I was supposed to do or who I was supposed to be, I can assure you now, being on the other side of it, I feel like I'm getting older because it wasn't that long ago I'd asked some young people. I said, "Hey, you guys, you can add me on Facebook if you'd like." And they just started laughing. And I was like, why are you laughing?" And they're like, "Facebook is for old people." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I haven't had a friend request since somebody younger than me since 2007. And it like dawned on me. So I am getting to be that old man. But having gone through it, I want you to know you don't have to go search for confidence in who you are. You can love who you are. God has made you a certain way, but God has great plans for you. Really great plans for you. And if God wills it, Paul later in Romans said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Even yourself can't be against you if God is for you. He just wants us to step out of the way and look to him. Get out of self. Stop looking at self. Look on others. Look at needs of others. Go spend your time doing stuff for others. And your love for self will actually grow. It's amazing the way that that works. Let me finish with this word from Philippians 4 and verse 13. We know this, right? Philippians 4:13, this is the sports motto. When you're going out to go against another team, you know, both teams say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So it becomes a matter of, well, whose side was Christ on? Well, the person that won. But we misuse it. But in this verse, Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things. Is that what he says? Well, if the sentence stopped there, that'd be interesting. But he doesn't. Self-confidence says, "I can do all things." But confidence in Christ, a radical faith, says, "I can do all things through Christ." So I want you to be challenged in this idea that there is such a thing as rejecting this dichotomy of self-confidence or self-deprecation, and know that there is a way to have a strong presence and a confidence to stand before people and to do what God has called you to do, to stand up for what is right, to overcome big obstacles, and all of that confidence and all of the strength be born out of God. I hope these things are challenging to you. Let's say a prayer and then we'll be finished. Father, we come into your presence, and God, these things are challenging to us. We are told certain things all the time, so many times, and we adopt them and we think that they're good, and Father, we mean well, but we want to be shaped by you. We want our thinking to be shaped by you, and I pray that it will be. I pray that you be with these people that are here this morning, and that you would challenge them in their faith, and that you would challenge them to grow, and that they would be relieved to know that they don't have to try and make themselves live up to some big thing, that they can sit back and look on you and simply follow your lead, and you will do things through them that they otherwise could not. Help them to find their strength in you. Help us all, dear God, to have a radical faith, a faith like Abraham, so that we can be justified by the blood of Jesus. We love you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to West Visalia Audio. We hope these messages have helped you grow and inspired you to take action. Be sure to check in each week for more on-the-go content, or visit our YouTube channel to watch the live video. Thanks for participating, and God bless.